Welcome into Real Kipper and Bourne, the National Hour, live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Thank you to them as always. And thank you to Gord Stellick for joining us today in Kipper Spot. Gord?
Well, appreciate it. Kipper, a well-deserved day off.
Yeah, we've
off,
been at it for 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, and you guys had a long...
He's really becoming a workaholic. So,
short break in the summer. So
just coming back of a couple of months.
Wow. I mean, listen, back in the day, Kipper, to get him in here most days, he didn't work all the time back when before he left. Like, I remember there'd be lots of days that he wasn't on Hockey Central. So get him in here every day, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We get lots of Kipper time. So we're going to be fortunate to talk to Luke Gazdick today, Sportsnet hockey analyst and former Oiler himself. Talk a little bit about this baby sweater behind me.
It's the funniest thing.
Why do we not have an adult?
I don't know. I was just texting my boss about it, but we'll hopefully get a few in here, but it looks really funny if you're watching on TV or YouTube.
If we did it by the amount of coverage the station gives per team, maybe the Leafs one might be a little bigger, but Gord, the Oilers off to a slow start, but have won a couple of hockey games since. Panic in the early going was a little bit overstated, a little bit overcooked, maybe.
Oh, big time. But the fans can do whatever they want, and some of the media can, and it's internally that they showed it last year. I mean, they made a coaching change, but they kept their composure and kept the context and turned things around of a really, really deep hole, which the Leafs did a number of years ago. They made the coaching change, but Sheldon Keefe took a team with a deep hole and helped get him in the playoffs that year. So the couple of wins they have, and I do want to talk to Luke about just that Couturier hit, because that's the way Luke played. And I think that was the best thing Edmonton was looking for, Couturier hitting the goaltender and getting a bit of a spark. So they've won twice. So the crisis goes to Colorado big time, Nashville a bit of one. Even Detroit a little bit. Everyone's talking about Joel Quenneville, not everyone, but Joel Quenneville going to Detroit. I mean, Steve Yzerman has been very supportive of his coaches, doesn't make changes, but those are the kind of, when a Joel Quenneville's on the sideline now, those are the kinds of rumors that come out pretty quick and if you get off to a tough start.
Absolutely, and
Before we get to Luke.
Oh, okay, yeah.
After we talk to Luke,
yes,
we're going to do texts.
Ooh, I love texts.
And we haven't done a lot of texts to start this year, so please text us 590-590. Send in your thoughts on Leafs, other stuff, maybe more national because we're in the National Hour here. So all your thoughts about the NHL and Leafs and stuff. So text us 590-590. We'll get to those after Luke.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And now welcome in Luke Gazdick, Sportsnet analyst and friend of the show. Gaz, how you doing, pal?
Doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me. Bourne, you're looking good. Nice outfit. Always looking proper.
Yeah, thanks. This is the Yuppie Vineyard Vines U.S. collection.
Love it.
Gaz, I'm sorry that we have a little Oilers jersey to talk about your former team here today. It's kind of hilarious. But tell us what's going on with the Oilers. Are we not panicking anymore?
No, I think they're back on track. I mean, starting slow is status quo for this team, apparently. It drives pretty much everyone in hockey nuts watching them, to be honest. The first couple games were tough to watch. It is incredible how much when Connor and Leon go, the team just kind of follows. Mm-hmm. The team just jumps on board. I saw that a lot last night in Nashville, even just one shift here and there. When Connor's feet start going and he starts buzzing around the ozone, you can see it just, it's kind of this infectious energy that emulates all the way down the bench and throughout the locker room. And I felt like last night in Nashville, they really used that to their advantage. But Gordo's right as well. I think there was finally a little bit of life at home Tuesday versus Philly. I didn't like seeing their goaltender get run over and a couple scraps. And there you go. That's kind of the life they needed. So that's what you need. I think they're out of panic zone right now, and it's good playing in that city. The more you go on losing or, you know, starting rocky like they did last year, the city can get on you, whether it's the fans, media every day at practice and games. And so it's good that they ripped a couple off and hopefully at least get a point out of Dallas on Saturday before heading home.
Yeah, and you know, Luke, you played that style. That's what I was just saying about in Sean Couturier's case, that it's a natural instinct, but also when you got a one-goal lead and you got a team that's not an opponent not showing much, the hesitancy to poke the bear and how much did that, like, I think Chris Knobloch and everybody, Stan Bowman, everybody, oh, thank God. And then, man, benching, like, the Draisaitl thing, I that took a lot of onions by Knobloch as well about, you know, talk about that, I guess, the respect to the coach and handling what could be a difficult thing with players, but it seemed to go well that Draisaitl understood why he missed a few shifts, and the team appreciates that, hey, you know, there's no sacred cows.
Yeah. First and foremost, on the goalie stuff, I had so many goalies over the course of my career, whether it was in the minors or in the NHL, that absolutely just gave it to me in front of the net. How many times I was coming down on a forecheck and I wanted to put the shoulder through through one of them too. I don't know. It's, we're in an era now, and the game has certainly moved to a place where the goaltenders have a lot of respect in and around the crease, and there's not much you can do with them. I'm glad that a guy like Stetch went and took care of business. It's always something different. You know, fighting is one thing in the NHL these days. It's essentially, you know, it's just not as much as it was in the past. But when you see a guy that rarely does it to begin with, like Stetch, I think that always kind of breathes some life into your team as well. And on the Draisaitl benching, I think that's the first coach I've ever seen sit him down, even since he was a young kid. I was with Leon when he was a rookie, when he came into the league at 18. And man, I think I've talked to you about this before, Borny, but he really struggled off the gate. Mm-hmm. Like, he was playing second line center on a very much a team that was in a rebuild on the young side roster wise. And here he is in the Western Conference stacking up against Dustin Brown and Anze Kopitar and Ryan Getzlaff every single night. And whether it was in the faceoff circle, like, he had some tough times early in his career, but coaches pretty, for the most part, pretty much worked with him. And I think Tuesday was the first time where I've seen a coach in a third period in a big high pressure game not stack the lines and play him every other shift. Basically just said, take a seat, kid. And I don't know. I think if you're on the team or on the bench, you're kind of looking around going, that's accountability at the highest, right? That's your top guy setting an example. So I'm sure that's, you know, had something to do with them coming back. And Leon definitely didn't seem happy after the game. But hey, being a coach, like you're seeing here with Chief in Toronto, you have to make some unpopular decisions that time.
I hated getting scratched or benched and then going out and scoring or doing something great and the coach just giving themselves a pat in the back for it. It's like rewarding them for treating you poorly. It's like, although it doesn't do you any good to go out and be terrible either, so you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place there as a player.
Yeah, 100%. And Gordo, I was thinking about that too, what you were saying, you know, the role I played, like late in games, especially in Couturier's spot, you had to have such good sense for that type of thing, especially in my role on the fourth line, not going to play much to start, not a ton of special teams. I very much valued the ice time that I got, took it for granted. I had to earn every shift. And especially as the game got hotter, if I'm still finishing checks in the O zone, like I used to have some coaches pull me aside or whisper in the ear in the third period, hey, just relax here, big boy, like settle down a little bit. We don't want to put the team down. They're kind of sleeping right now. So that was always something you had to juggle. I wanted to bring energy to every shift. And sometimes you just kind of have to read the game and know when a team is down and out.
Yeah. So, you know, when they hadn't won any games, people are starting to look for things that were different about the team. And frankly, they're looking for things that were worse about the team. Are you concerned about the decor? And again, I know they've won a couple of hockey games. I know they still have most of their good players, but you know, you're talking about getting better at the margins to win a cup this year. Where are they on that decor, and can they find it from within?
It's a great question. And I don't want to say I'm too concerned. The only reason is because we're so early into the season. I think they'll end up figuring this thing out, but they've juggled the pairs around a lot. And I think this is where they've landed on now. I think they're going to play Stetcher with Nursey and then have Kulak and Emberson as their third pair. First pair, obviously, you're not touching. Like, Ekholm's played some great hockey. Bush, yeah, people still screaming at their TVs every once in a while with a play he makes here and there, but the way he produces offensively, you're cheering for him most of the time. I thought Josh Brown was going to make a bigger impact at training camp. Mm-hmm. Signed a three-year, $3 million deal. He's down in Bakersfield right now. He brings a really tough physical element, and I just don't know if that's a situation when you talk about from within, where training camp can be hard to show what you have. If you're a meat potatoes 5-6 D-man or you're a depth forward, sometimes training camp can be hard to kind of show the scope of what you're going to bring to a team and to a locker room. You kind of that role gets a little more fitting as you go and you have more games and more reps. So a guy like that I'm looking at in Baco, but I think this team is just primed to make a move at some point. Right-handed shot defenseman. Every team needs one. Like, which team doesn't? But 3-4 right-handed shot D-man is something this team is probably going to go out there and pick up at some point in the future here.
So, Luke, I'm going to go a little further west. You know, there's certain things that defy logic. I mean, you know, years ago, Scott Gomez, he didn't score for a calendar year or something. Remember that? You know?
Yeah.
And then last year, the Pittsburgh Penguin power play, which has been fine now, but it was something like 70 minutes. They couldn't score a power play goal. They played a man advantage for like a complete game, whatever. So what I don't get now is Elias Pettersson. Not just the stat. I guess, what is it? One regular strength goal in his last 25 games or something like that. He doesn't look like Elias Pettersson. Like it's a strange one. And I know it's a repetitive question, but I want to get perspectives. I want to get perspectives from an ex-player like you. Like, why, never mind the stats, why does he look so different?
It's a good question. And I really like him as a hockey player. I have since he's come into the league from day one. But that version of the player that I loved was the guy that was reverse hitting guys in the corner while having puck possession and putting that, you know, puck on one stick and leaning in and being a driver. You'll always hear coaches use the term driver. And I thought that he was the guy that could drive a line. I just think we've seen maybe a little less in terms of the energy he's bringing. And I don't know, he looks heavy to me. And that's what I see when I watch Vancouver games. But I also do think that he takes a lot of the brunt of the fault of everything that is Canucks hockey. Like, if they lose, if they go through a bad stretch, if he goes through a bad stretch personally, he takes it pretty hard. But I still haven't seen flashes of that same younger player that, call it 3-4 years ago, just played with a little more edge than you see now.
Yeah, and you know, he's such a big part of what the Canucks hope to be this season. Last year, they won the Pacific Division. They had a year that went great. Little bit of a slow start this year as well. What are your thoughts on, you know, we're going to kind of bounce around Canada a little bit, but the Canucks were in one of the three teams, I would say, with Vancouver and Edmonton that people had high hopes for. What are your thoughts on them out of the gate so far?
Yeah, I think the thing that had to be driving talk nuts was not playing full 60s. You didn't really see them play a full game until Florida last night, till their overtime win in Florida, basically. I think in Tampa, that was a perfect example of it, where times you look and they're flying and they're playing good connected hockey. And then at times it's just poor execution. And we're talking just general passing skills and, you know, point shots hitting the net. I'm watching how many D are missing point shots from the top of the key. And I'm sure it had to be driving talk nuts, but last night was a little more positive moving forward. I thought they did great job on faceoffs. The depth started working for them late in the game. Quinn Hughes looked really good. This kid's not gonna be. Obviously, he's an absolute stud. But my goodness, every time I watch the Canucks, I'm reminded of how phenomenal he is ripping up and down the ice. And I think last night was the first time that they saw a full, complete game. They play fast when they're going. Like, that's a fast hockey team. I think signing Jake DeBrusk helped with that. Danton Heinen and Kiefer Sherwood, that adds a lot of speed that they already had. They just got to get someone to save the pucks. Last night, that was Lankinen, and see if him and Shelobs can do it while Demko's out.
Well, we always add it's early, but a lot of people don't care that it's early. They start making decisions. But you look at the Central Division, like, so polarizing that Dallas, as expected, what a great start. Winnipeg may be a bit of a surprise. Utah was okay, you know, whatever. So all of a sudden, if you're Nashville and Colorado, you got some ground to make up, right? Like, a little more than you would think after 3, 4, 5 games. So Nashville, you know, it's one thing. They got a lot of new players there. Colorado, I mean, you talk about abysmal. Never mind, it's, again, about losing, but how you're losing, the goal differential. We know they got some big holes due to, you know, being in the player assistance program, injuries and what have you. But something's going to have to give there? They're going to be able to work it out? Do they need to trade for a goaltender now? Like, I mean, what do you need to do? This is a hole that could become really deep in a hell of a hurry.
Yeah, and they're playing with two strikes already. They are thin, and they're not getting saves. Like, in the league today, if you're not going to get consistent saves from your goaltender and an above-average performance every night, you're probably not going to get a win, and that's just the honest truth. Friedge was talking about the possibility of maybe a John Gibson, if he can stay healthy. I'm sure Lucas Dostal's ready to take over the show in Anaheim with a young team there. Mm-hmm. They're probably looking to get rid of a guy like that, but it's to me, I hate scapegoating goalies. I hate it. I don't want to come on here and tell you, but it's just time and time again when Georgiev's got pulled two nights in a row, let in 3 or 4 on his next one. Like, it's been a gong show in the crease. So at some point, that's got to give. And the guy, like, Nate's not going to sit around for too long if this continues, because this isn't a new thing, right? Like, in between the pipes for them has been kind of a mess for the last couple of years. And so that's where I kind of would see them heading in that direction, picking maybe a starter like Gibson up.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've played enough hockey to have been a part of good teams and bad teams. And I want to ask you about the Flames and that. Do you believe that early season momentum, it can be translated throughout the calendar? Or is it something that inevitably your talent level catches up? Like, I've always kind of felt like how things go sets a lot of the tone and the mood and the culture for the team, and it can really help long term. Do you think that it can make a difference, or it just snaps back to reality at some point?
Well, there is 100% there's going to be some sort of coming down period. But what I will say about Calgary and the Flames is I had the chance to play a full year for Ryan Huska in the minors. And
oh, yeah.
What's happening there is no joke. He is one of the best communicators and development of players and people that I got to play for and spend some time with. It was a full year with the Stockton Heat in the minors. So it was only a matter of time before this team was bound to have success, just because I've played for a lot of coaches over the years, and he was certainly one of my favorites. And just the way he approaches the day-to-day, the respect he shows for the leadership group on the team, just even logistically, how he runs his club. I really enjoyed my year playing for him. So I do think that there's a huge element to that. The team's younger. They come flying in. I did do a 1 year of training camp in Calgary. That is not an easy training camp. The fitness testing, there's a couple of things there that the guys have to be really geared up for. So I think that's a huge thing, is their conditioning is unbelievable. It after a while here in the Western Conference, especially in their division, I think you'll start to see them settle down just a little bit as we move on here, whether it's injuries, whether it's just figuring out the longevity of the league and playing against some of these guys who have been in the league doing it for years. But it's certainly a positive and fun, exciting story. Like, listen, hockey is better when, for us and everybody else,
oh, yeah,
when Canadian teams are doing good. So it's good for the Battle of Alberta. It's good for hockey. It's good for everything.
So, Luke, you know, unlike a lot of people, when they set up, they're promoting everything in the background, right? They got their books and everything. So you got kind of a Spartan setup there, which I respect. So don't take it the wrong way. I just want to confirm, we did not interrupt you getting interrogated at a police station, correct? Can we confirm that?
Okay, I have no idea what's going on with this Zoom lighting. I'm just going to blame Sam McKee. He's like the police.
Yeah,
I'm over there.
Good job.
I only have two photos in here. One is a laser of Toronto, and the other is Kawhi hitting the famous shot.
Oh,
this is like... This is like super Toronto room. There's a couple books here, but I don't know. I'm figuring this thing out as we go, doing hits. And I don't know. I've changed locations a couple times. So, no, I'm not being interrogated.
Okay, good.
Well, I did stay out of trouble.
So then about trouble in the Atlantic Division, since Buffalo, Ottawa, Detroit, same question. Still no answer. Still unclear. Like, what's 5-6 games into the season? Like, about if one team's going to knock on the door, which one, or do you think 1-2 or possibly all three could, and which has the best chance of kicking it down? Because right now, it's the same story what the last 5 years.
Yeah, my heart says Buffalo. I'm a Sabres guy. I soft spot for them in my heart in the city of Buffalo. It's just time and time again, you're watching this team trip over itself. The most intriguing one for me is the Sens. We're covering that tomorrow. Me and Jen Botterill and David Ambrill being the opening intermissions for you doing that. I was listening to the Val Kett interview the other day, Borny, when you and Kipper were talking, when you went deep in the valley.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most fascinating conversations I've ever heard. And the stuff he said about Allmark was news to me. Mm-hmm. And I really haven't been able to think the same since then. I'm pumping your show. Like, if you guys haven't listened to it, go back and check it out.
Yeah, but thanks.
It's just about, it was more so like, what's going on with this guy? Like, here he goes, signs a 4-year deal. They put all their eggs in one basket, and, we haven't even got to see him play hockey yet. So really the only problem for me in Ottawa is stopping pucks. Their power play is absolutely buzzing right now. That first unit with Batherson and Norris, Sanderson, Kachuk, Stutzle, I think they're 38% right now. So fun to watch. They just got to have someone to get some saves back there. The blue line's coming along. And, man, I mentioned Battle of Alberta. I would love to see some more, you know, competitive hockey with Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa here going toe-to-toe for the majority of this year. And I think Ottawa has the potential to do that.
Joined with Luke Gazdick. Just one more for you from me, Luke. I don't know if Gord's got another or not, but I have one more. And you would have been a player who played around the goaltender's blue paint. And there's a lot of goalie interference calls right now. A lot of confusion about it. Do you feel like goaltenders are just soft and just need to really just be hockey players a little bit? Or do you like all the way the calls are going?
Well, it's like we've put all these rules in the game to increase offense, increase the speed of it, regulations on goalies' equipment. Like, we want to see more goals. We want to see more scoring. So who wants to see a game stop, you know, 2-3 times a game and do a 5 to 10 minute review to find out if a goal that you have to go chop frame by frame to see, you know, if something breezed by there is a goal? I just think if it's that close, we should be leaning towards goal side. Like, we shouldn't be leaning towards calling so many of these things back. And I think goalies get way too much respect. I'm sure
you know,
some people out there would probably wouldn't love, I'm sure Kelly Rudy won't love this, but like, I think especially with a couple in Edmonton, a couple of the recent ones in Edmonton, Corey Perry's one, it's like, what are we doing here? Don't we want to see guys score? Should we really be breaking these things down at micro zoom to try to call it back in some way? So I don't know. I'll probably get in more trouble if I keep going, but yeah, I think you can imagine how I feel watching games.
No, it's great. I'm anti-goalie and I fight people online about it all the time. Just, they're too soft. Anyway.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us, Gaz. Appreciate it. You're on TV tomorrow night, Hockey Night in Canada?
No, just the day. So I'm
yeah, sorry,
we have a crew. No, we have a crew doing the Tampa Bay Ottawa one, and then we have a regional to national with me and David, Edmonton Dallas, and then the A team will take over.
Awesome. Well, you're doing great work. We appreciate your time on our show. Thanks for joining us, pal.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great weekend.
You too. Luke Gazdick, Sportsnet hockey analyst, former NHL.
So taking on goaltenders, there's such a disproportionate number of catchers and goaltenders that are broadcasters, analysts.
Yes.
And someone said that they see the game differently, that when they have to look behind, it's bad. Uh-huh. So a catcher in baseball, if he's looking back, that's bad. Right. A goalie, we know that's bad. But there are so many goaltenders and analysts. So when you take on the goaltending fraternity, mm-hmm. It's not just Kelly Rudy.
No.
There's a whack of them that are going to come at you whole hog.
Oh, I know. It's fantastic. I've really enjoyed having this waging the war. But it is, you know, unique the way that you see the game from a different perspective as a goaltender. And so I get why there is a volume of them.
I mean, I'll go back to my take the other day. I mean, they have the most equipment on. Like, they should be there out there playing the game of hockey.
Yeah.
If a guy just taps them on the way by or they're in the vicinity, I agree with Gaz. Like, that Corey Perry one was absurd. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one that keeps sticking in my mind. And I know Kipper said it's because it's Corey Perry. But I hate them calling these back. And so the review, like, it's such a momentum game. It's so fast and it's so great. And it's just like there's so little breaks in the action. When you're sitting there and you're excited to watch a game and they're reviewing, you know, like a touch for 3.5 minutes,
that's
you're like,
the NFL
what are we
for
doing
me now?
Here?
Every reception, I'm like, does that count? Does that stand?
It's such a great parallel. Yeah. What a catch is in the NFL and what a goaltender interference is. It's
but
great.
It is funny. So, one is we have the technology, so about getting it right. And again, there's a whole other discussion. One of the things I think is if you don't see it in the first 2 minutes, then forget it.
Mm-hmm.
It don't take 6 minutes. Okay, whatever. So, but the other one about goaltenders and quarterbacks, I mean, it's predicated on a good thing that, particularly with the money making now, don't want to get them injured, right? Needless injuries. So, you know, because like, and it wasn't just guys like Luke Gazdick. Craig Simpson, also a analyst, man, he was great at crashing the net.
Mm-hmm.
Back then it was like, you know, whatever, you can make a look and, you know, they were kind of fair game. So they changed all that. And I agree with that. But the other part, and Brian Burke always has a great line, like, because he loves the physicality.
Yes, he does.
He loves the physicality. But he also, but certain games, as he said, becomes flag football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you don't want that tipping point, right? You don't ever want it to be flag football. So, again, the Corey Perry, that's not really a flag football comparable, but that was one of those you're kind of going, and they come up with an explanation. They're good at explanations. I got to say, every time I hear an explanation, I kind of go,
it's almost like they're all lawyers.
Yeah.
Right about that. Yeah. Their explanations are excellent.
Yeah. Can you talk to Lisa why I don't clean up and why I don't do your lawn work and stuff? Because it really sounds good coming from you. I don't sound too good when I fail on it. But
that's funny.
Yeah, that's it's going to be an ongoing topic, right?
It is. It absolutely is. Do you want to go to break first?
Yeah, we'll go to break, and then we'll come back, do game time, and then I got a bunch of texts.
And a reminder, yep, fan five, or just text 59590, yep. Some text scored. Me and Sam going to chew those up.
Already got a bunch, but keep texting them in because we got lots of time. So
all
keep texting.
Right. Well, thanks, Lou Gazdick, and we will be right back after this.
The best Blue Jay show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne. Did I not hold for TV? Was I supposed to hold for TV? We're back on TV. That's good. Hi, TV. Real Kipper and Bourne. This hour of Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365, even though it's Gord Stellick and Bourne today.
We're on TV?
Yeah.
Oh,
what? I know. Fancy, right?
That's right. I mean, he didn't put on that jacket for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, I knew we're on TV. Yeah. The worst is when you get caught the other way. I've had that once or twice.
Well, I look like I get caught every day.
that's true. Yeah.
I still haven't worked up the courage to wear a hat on here. And you wear hats all the time.
Once a week.
Yeah.
I usually try to keep it once a week.
But yeah, you got some business to take care of. Yep.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the stall to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365 with a 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Game I was looking at for tonight, I think there's only three games on the schedule, but Carolina is in Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins, who had a pretty good start to the year here. They've been a little bit up and down, but they just had that exciting win over the Sabres. 6-5, I think it was, in overtime.
Yeah.
They are a plus 145 underdog on home ice. Carolina's a minus 170 favorite. You know what? I'm buying what the Pittsburgh Penguins are selling. I'm getting excited about watching Sid and Evgeny Malkin. So give me, as an underdog shot, the Pittsburgh Penguins at plus 145. And here's what I'll say.
The Love this next one.
Colorado Avalanche are in Anaheim, I think. Yeah, they're in Anaheim tonight to take on the Anaheim Ducks. Nathan MacKinnon, 3 points tonight, is plus 185. I don't think that he's going to let them lose to the Ducks. And if they do lose, he's going to score a lot, and Gorgiev's going to let a lot in.
So, 0-4-0 Avalanche. Yeah. MacKinnon going into a soft team is going to be hungry.
So I would give me the Nathan MacKinnon 3 points plus 185, and I will not be picking the Mets today on game time. They've let me down. They're playing right now. I think it's 0-0 still. They're playing right now. I will not be picking the Mets because the last two nights they've let me down. But oh my God, did you guys watch that baseball game last night?
No, but I saw a guy baseballed one over the far wall right at the right time.
Oh, it was there was a lot of baseballs flying over the wall at the right time. Big Christmas. Jinkenzie Noel, one of the best names.
Jinkenzie.
His name's Jinkenzie Noel. Big Christmas is the nickname. It was one of the best baseball.
It's amazing.
It's one of the best baseball games I've watched ever. So it was amazing. And that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
What's the best nickname of a hockey player you're aware of there, Gord?
Oh. Well, I don't think he embraced it, Red Light Rossico. I did, which is not good for
probably
a goaltender.
Not.
I mean, you know, I like the ones like Tiger. Well, like their real nicknames.
Yeah.
You know, Clark Gillies Jethro was pretty good.
That's right? A good one. Yeah.
You know, I just hate Schmully and Samsies and Justinsies. You know,
how many Smitties is there in the
league?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I just like, well, back Mad Dog Kelly and Battleship Kelly, Bob Kellys. That's how you go. Dave the Hammer Schultz. I mean, when did we lose thought about what's a good nickname? You know, because
we've lost thought in general, Gord.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why guys like me are here. It's just no thought anymore.
So it's true. Like, what's the best nickname in hockey right now?
Sid the Kid.
No.
It was a great nickname for a long time, Sid the Kid.
You don't think
so?
I mean, it's fine. It rhymes with Sid. That was why.
Yeah, but he was referred to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
No, but come on.
Yeah.
Come up like with a handle.
But now I'm
trying
to think of one. Like, Ovi is a great nickname.
That sucks. Russian it's machine. Ovi. It's the same thing.
Ovi. It's good. Like, that's
shorting his name.
Yeah, but no, it's not. Ovechkin.
Oh, man. You're terrible at this game.
Ovi. Ovi and Sid the Kids are two of the icons. I mean, the great one's pretty good.
Yeah.
Here's my nickname for you. You suck.
This game. Felix the Cat.
The Cat was good. I mean, it was an obvious one for Felix. I just called him Cat. Was kind of a cool handle, a cool moniker.
Derek just buzzed down in my ears. Like, I can't even take credit for that. That was Derek Brandeis.
All right, well, text in some of your great nicknames.
And
But now.
Yeah.
Are we ready for some texts? I love Tex. Tex is a great part of the show.
But then Sam was pleading for more.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it made it sound like, you know, we have content to fill. Like, please, like a telethon. Please send us, like, okay. Send us more text.
I love the text.
I like
there
text,
is a
too.
Current nickname, Justin Kirkland in the NHL.
Oh.
And this is, comes from somebody in Calgary. They just right. said Calgary. His nickname's Costco.
Kirkland. It is perfect. Absolutely phenomenal.
There we go. I know there's other ones.
Wi-Fi.
Oh, Wi-Fi.
There we go.
See, actually, that's the best nickname
now,
in the NHL.
Now, yeah. This is exactly what we wanted.
And if you don't know, Arbor yeah. Jacki's last name is just an amalgamation of random letters on its face. Yeah. It's tough to see, and so it looks like a Wi-Fi password,
yeah.
which is why that's his.
Okay, this one's from Alex Whitby, and I don't know, Gordo, if you're going to allow this one. You might get mad about this one, but pasta for Pasternak? Is it just shortening the name?
I'll give it a 60, like my final calculus mark, when I took it a second time.
There's a lot coming in here now.
We need Ken Reed on this because those boys out in the East Coast, they're old Teapot and the boys. A shout out to Weasel, who I spent some time with on The Rock when I was there.
The last two, I will say before, we're getting a million of these. Okay. But Breadman for Artemi Panarin.
Very good.
That's good.
Very good.
Yep.
And what about McJesus?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's a 60. That's a 60. I get the Breadman a 90.
Breadman's very good. He should have a sponsorship.
Moose for Messier is pretty good too.
Like that.
70.
I like Moose.
Give it a 70.
No, Moose is good.
Yeah. All right. This is for Borny. Not for you, Gordo. Sorry.
Okay.
Coming to you from Nelson, BC.
Oh, what's up?
Home of the Junior A Nelson Leafs. Borny, I'm curious if you've ever played in the the KIJHL or the BCHL. Love listening to you guys every day here in BC.
Yeah.
Go Leafs, go.
Yeah. I led the KIJHL in scoring, or my conference. I think I was second in the league to Andrew Ebbett, who went on to have a great career.
Yeah.
So I played for the Soyuz Heat, and then, Vernon Vipers, BCHL champs, no big deal.
Wow.
All my hockey was in BC until it wasn't. So, yeah, no, great leagues. I still talk to the, like, marketing guy of the KIJHL.
Really?
Kootenai International Junior Hockey League. It was a great league. All the small towns in BC.
What was the Vernon Vipers' biggest rival?
The Penticton, well, now they're the V's. They're the Penticton Panthers when I was playing there, but Vernon Penticton is a pretty good Okanagan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
what is there to be mad about in that part of the
Although
world?
Although I will say,
it's so nice.
We played the Chilliwack Chiefs back-to-back years in the final,
yeah.
And Chilliwack's arena, for those people who have been to that part of the world, was boards up to normal board height,
yeah.
And then boards and then glass.
What?
It was the concussion dome, and it was regulation size. Terrifying arena to play in. That would qualify as a rival, but that's probably the most afraid I've ever been to play hockey.
So, the year Auston Matthews got picked first overall, the draft was in Buffalo.
Mm.
And, you know, it was a rock concert when he got picked. But then, following the rest of the draft, what struck me that year? How many BCHL players were picked?
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, I don't know if it's been commensurate since then, but that really got my awareness. Like, wow, there was quantity and there was quality. You know, they were a whack of them.
A really great league, and I actually think there's been some, they've joined forces with the AJHL, some of the A
right.
teams, have for whatever reason, I think it's related to ages and scholarships.
There's nothing that really I love, like intricacies, which is a hard word to say, of like different junior hockey barns.
Yeah, oh,
right, like
best.
It always kills me, like Peterborough, where the Peets play, it's almost like a square, like corners are squared off. Remember Savvy used to tell us about the games he would go in there and play. Mark Savard, who's now the power play coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Assistant coach.
We did the Leafs Nation post game with him for many years, and he said that, because he was a very good junior player, he's a very good hockey player, he would just throw it off the corners and then beat the defenseman. He named the two guys that he just used to beat like a drum. He said he'd throw it in the corner and go around them because it was bounced right out into the middle of the slot.
I'm going to tack on a quick junior hockey story.
So
we played Chilliwack 2 years in a row in the final. The first year, so they're... they had a mascot, which is not appropriate anymore. Old Chief Wanawin is gone.
Right.
But he used to play the big drum during timeouts, just bong, bong, you know, this big thing right behind the bench. He got tickets behind our bench in Vernon for playoffs. So no, he's not wearing the big head anymore. He's just got the big drum, like the guy came. And so our coach goes down the bench, says something to our trainer, whatever, calls a timeout. We're losing, and it's 2-2 in the finals, like it's game five. Calls timeout, we all come in, and he starts with the drum, and our trainer reaches over the glass and gets a piece of then Chief Wanawin and climbs the glass. And I mean, old Chief Wanawin had a tough night. And I mean, the police had our trainer out of there. There's a song. So we're listening to our coach like it's the finals. Like, this is a big moment. And there's a whole slap shot scene happening right behind him while he's got the whiteboard. Junior hockey was.
That's incredible. What was the name of the
Harvey the Hound?
Yes.
Thank you
for saving me. Where he pulled the tongue out of the mascot's mouth when it was coming down over the thing, and Craig McTavish grabbed it and pulled it off. It was incredible.
Right, and I think someone signed it at some point. It ended up as a gift. Did I see it at Daryl Sutter's place? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, it's somewhere.
Okay. The Calgary Flames are off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
All four lines are firing on all cylinders. Their defense are big, and the goalies are playing great. Can they continue at this level? Mike from Calgary. And in our lineup here, Frank Cervelli is reporting that the Flames are looking to add a middle six center that fits their age group and preferably shoots right-handed. So very specific.
Right.
But they're actually looking to add. So some Calgary Flames talk here. It's nice to see them start.
I forget who talked about it. The assumption they're having another fire sale on top of the fire sale, and then Craig Conroy said, no, you only have one fire sale, okay?
Right.
And we had it last year, and we had to switch gears in the early part of the season. So that was a transition that you did something different than you didn't think you're going to do the start of the season. So now you're able to say, hey, Anthony Mantha, let's see how you fit here.
Yep.
Let's do all these things. We're going to try a kid in goal. So far, so good. So to answer your question, I'll say yes, in that every year to me, there's one team in each conference that surprises, mm-hmm. right? Or at least one. And they had the foundation of a certain good thing. And then when Daryl Sutter went, changed, and they had to make the changes with God rest his soul, Johnny Goodrow leaving and the Kachuk mm-hmm. trade and all these. So I think they're back to a good place that it's not a total teardown. But Kenzie Weegar saying, I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you love hearing that. And if you get Huberto going, that's a big if. But if you know all these kinds of things, Justin, and I don't know what the upside is.
Yeah.
But I've been bullish on the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when you think of teams that do these sort of rebuilds, and it's like you look at Buffalo for 11 years now or whatever it's been, and Detroit and Chicago, and they strip it all the way down. You look at this Calgary Flames team. Blake Coleman, great veteran in the league, who's won a cup. Mikhail Backlund, Jonathan Huberdeau, Nazem Kadri, Mackenzie Weegar, who you mentioned, you know, Barry's there, Rasmus Anderson. There's a lot of guys who played a lot of hockey in the league. That is not your typical rebuild team.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
No. I saw a stat.
Well, I'm not writing them off. And also,
80% of teams that start 4-0, I think I saw, make the playoffs. I think that's the number I saw. And they're going to be in the 20.
I know people
in the 20. Yeah.
I had someone.
Thanks, buddy.
I had someone write me your recent article titled "Which Fast Starters Are for Real This Season" is disrespectful to the Flames player, staff, and organization, because I said I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay,
and I hold strong on that. They're off to a great start, and that's lovely. But four games here. Let's.
I don't know if the person said it tongue in cheek there, but you never say stop being disrespectful. That's a part.
No.
It's funny how people take it. Part of why I don't like doing predictions.
Yeah.
I don't like them. Because you hear, I had to do a prediction.
Right.
Okay, I want to watch the game. I like the game. Let the game play out and let me find out. I don't want to do a prediction. Whatever. You got to write these columns,
You look like a jerk as an analyst if you say everyone's wonderful all the time, and then sometimes teams aren't wonderful.
Yeah.
So there's some good players there, and they'll be competitive, but the Canucks are a very good team still. The Oilers are a very good team still. Vegas is still very good. It's a tough division. The Kings are very good.
And I've not written them off because that would be disrespectful.
But if you get to the... But if you get to the deadline and they're still competing and people are offering them tons for their guys, it's like, wow, they're probably going to be listening hard.
They're not going to win the Stanley Cup, so they're more likely to be sellers than buyers. Incidentally, that's why I picked Pittsburgh to make the playoffs, not because I think they're better than the Flames today per se, but because when they get there in March, they're far more likely to be buyers.
Yep.
You know, you got to win while you have Sid and while you have Malkin and Carlson and all those guys.
Big Blackhawks fan here. I'm very excited from what I've seen for the first five games of the season. Do you think they have a chance to at least make it interesting for a playoff push if the team can stay healthy?
No.
Somebody's so disrespectful.
No, but he gave you a word, interesting.
Yeah.
That's a different word,
yes.
Right? That's a word you can play with a little bit. I agree, no. I think, you look back last year, what were we talking about this very day? Connor Bedard.
Mm-hmm.
First 3 weeks. And they, so much so, the veteran Blackhawk player said, we got to pull this kid in. Too much stuff. And they kind of go, will you chill? Because it's going to get to where it is now. You know, that all of a sudden we're talking about a million other things. And Connor Bedard looks like, you know, he's whatever the real deal is, he's going to be that. But yeah, I would, you got to grow, right? Though, yeah. Sam, they got to play better. What a horrible year they had last year. They played a lot of horrible. They got to play more. They got to play more, better hockey. I know that's not perfect English, but that's how you start moving forward.
This is a very weird team.
It is a weird team. It's the strangest team. They're like the fifth oldest in the league because of these weird names.
Yeah.
But this reminds me of the conversation where someone says, oh, Artemi Panarin, top 10 guy in the league. You know, he's a top 10 guy or whatever. And then you get out a pen and paper and you start writing the top 10 guys. Yeah. And you're like, oh, he's the 24th best player in the league. Like, he's not even close. You know, and so for me, it's, okay, is Chicago going to be in the playoff hunt? Okay, Dallas is in. Hard in, right? Yeah. You like Utah this year? Thinks Utah's probably better.
I do like Utah. They
That's a bad injury, Sean Durzi. Yeah. Him and Sergachev are playing almost 30 minutes a game. So, I mean, but I do like
them. Okay, so Dallas is in, Utah's in maybe. The Winnipeg Jets had 110 points last year and are off to a 3-0 start. So the Jets are probably in. Wild are 2-0-2. They're pretty good. Nashville Predators made a bunch of moves to get better. They're pretty good. Haven't mentioned the Colorado Avalanche. I know they had a slow start, but, you know, who do you think is going to finish higher, Colorado or Chicago? You know, like, there's just other teams.
Yeah, it's a good division.
You can't write off St. Louis.
No, and then you mentioned St. Louis. Yeah. You're right. Like, so for me, it's not is Chicago bad or whatever. It's everyone else is good.
Yeah, and this next question is, why do you always admit the Jets when talking about other Canadian teams? I guess we always admit the Jets, boys. I don't know if we do that or not.
I picked them. I
omit the Jets?
Yeah, that's what I said, right?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you said admit.
No,
I said admit the Jets.
Oh, did I? Maybe I did. Omit the Jets. Why don't you talk about the Jets?
I picked them to win the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. I've always picked them to go deeper than they actually did, including beating Colorado last year, which they didn't. Mm-hmm. So, and you know what, Justin? Last year, like, you think about the guys that have committed to the Jets, like when Hellebuck and Scheifele did it.
Yeah.
You know, because that was always since Bufflin, since other things, Trouba, like, oh, who wants to leave? Pierre-Luc Dubois. And that's a negative, right? That you always someone, and all of a sudden these guys committed. And then they played that hockey where they didn't give up more than two goals for a phenomenal number of games. And then they bleep the bed in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know. So, yeah, I don't. Have you retreated? You think they're going to make the playoffs? I used to say they were going to. So I've got them certainly one of those being considered to make the playoffs. Yeah. I don't have them as a lead pipe cinch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Preseason I had them as a sort of fringe playoff team, but you know what concerned me was last year they had 110 points, but they were so good defensively, right? They gave up
the playoffs.
199 goals was, I think, tied for first with Florida, or maybe one behind Florida for best in the NHL. I wasn't sure they were going to be able to replicate that without Monahan and without Toffoli, and I can't even remember, but I feel like they lost a handful of guys. And they have been. They've given up two goals in three games. Their goaltender has been fantastic. And if team defense is still there, you know, Perfetti can take a step. Connor scores. Ehlers can score. You know, Scheifele's obviously still there. Velarde. They have enough guys that they can score. So I'm pro Winnipeg now.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. Yeah, there you go. Right. You don't admit them anymore.
A bit of positivity after being mean to Calgary and Chicago.
That's good. This is very good. I want to make sure this qualifies as national question, not Leaf-centric. Now that the Toronto Maple Leafs have established their ultimate superiority by finally adding the pieces they needed through defense and coaching, do you think the rest of the nation quakes in their boots at the thought of playing them, or are they more in awe of the talent and consider it an honor to share the ice with them? That's from Ryan, the parade planner.
That's the best text we've ever got.
That's good. Like, set it up and then just deliver the hammer, right?
Ryan, the parade planner, is an incredible sign up on that.
Are they the best team in Canada this year? Is it?
When I worked for them, you know, they weren't among the better teams most years. Mm. And going across Canada, it gave everyone great joy. First of all, phenomenal relief fans, unparalleled, even back then. Now people travel everywhere. It's not a novelty, but back then, there'd be more Leaf fans everywhere else, which then pissed the hometown fans off even more. So they took incredible joy. Even if it was a weak Leaf team and the Oilers and Flames were really strong then, they still took incredibly joy kicking the crap out of them if they could. So they still take that kind of joy. There's more bite to that than in a lot of other markets. But I don't know if they're quaking in their boots, but the thing is, the Leafs aren't far from being what Chicago was when they would come to town, but they were winning cups.
Yeah.
But when they came to your town, and out west they're only coming once, like Chicago only came once here.
Right.
But it was really neat to see because you said, wow, this is a whole different level, right? And you want to be that team. And maybe Florida's that team now. I don't know. Edmonton can be that team, but Toronto can be that team. Yeah. But you got, and regular season wise, but you got to have the playoffs.
Ain't us.
A text from Brad in Calgary says, I'm turning the radio off after that text. So Ryan, the parade planner, you got inside that guy's head. A few more nicknames, boys. Stumpy Thomas.
Mm. That's not bad. I like Stevie, yeah.
Yeah. The Russian Rocket.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
Just okay.
Oh, it's good. Okay. I'll give this a good one. Yeah.
Dave the Hammer Schultz.
Yeah. I just mentioned that. All those flyers, like Dave, like, what do they call it? What was Don Selesky called? He had a nickname. I can't remember. But they all, like I said, Battleship Kelly, Mad Dog Kelly, and
Derek Brandeo in my ear did volunteer a good one. Vlasic was Pickles.
Yeah. Marco was good.
But that's like anybody who's. Last name's Campbell is Soupy,
yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. That's a classic one.
There's Jack only one Campbell, there's here. A lot of Campbells in the phone book. There's not many Vlasics.
Yeah. Showtime for Patrick Kane.
Yeah, Showtime's great. Showtime is a little bit for me, like, and this is touchy now, but was like Black Mamba was for Kobe.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no one called him that.
No,
you know,
really.
Like kind of gave it to himself, you know, and was like, I'm the Black Mamba. I was like, no one, not really, you know, I don't know anyone until like almost late career Kane that was referring to Kane as Showtime.
And like he'd score a goal and he'd be like, Showtime.
Yeah. Like he kind of was like, kind of gave it to himself. So that might be
I don't think Ken Lintzman liked being called the Rat, but you know, that was the Rat for Kenny Lintzman.
We did get that as a submission. How about Mr. Game 7 for Justin Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that one though, you earn, you don't get during your career. It's like, career's got to be almost over.
It's kind of a statement.
I can't.
Or the nickname.
Right.
I honestly can't imagine having a better nickname than Mr. Game 7.
His numbers in Game 7.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Someone should just say or call themselves Mr. Game 3 and let people go figure it out. Go, what the? Well, check my Game 3. So, okay, I don't know how to do
Toronto,
it.
Yeah.
Mr. Game 3, that's right.
That's too bad.
We got any other?
Like Austin Matthews, do they call him Cactus at all? Like,
Happy.
I like Cactus better. Pappy's
big,
not bad.
Big
Pappy
Cactus?
Or Cactus or whatever. Yeah. That's what they call it. Anyway.
Pappy's good, but something Cactus related would be great, but it's kind of just got to happen. I don't think we get to pick it.
This is a self-serving one, but hey, Sammy, it's your Bantam House League coach here, Fred Whip. Keep up the great work, man, and say hi to your dad for me, my Thursday Beer League winger. Fred Whip, wonderful guy, and his son, Mark Whip, I played hockey with.
Not much
my whole
of a
life.
Coach, though.
No.
Considering what it became of you.
Yeah, buddy. Just check out my Live Barn highlights. You'll see Fred Whip's work.
did you get to know your dad when he called to complain about your race time?
No, They're buddies. It's a small town thing, but love you, Freddie. Thanks for texting. Not a ton else, really, here on the text line. I guess if you're gun to your head, who you're starting the power play with in Game 7 for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Morgan Riley or Oliver Ekman-Larsson?
Great question. I do feel like we need to see some hockey first.
I was going
to
say, like, you want to see. Tell me how the six games went.
Yeah.
That game 7. Give me a narrative of the six games before.
Did Ekman-Larsson have 50 neither. Power play points in the season?
Maybe neither. Maybe you reacquired Lyubushkin and you put him out there. I don't know.
Maybe it's Liljegren at that point.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe he's got it figured out by then. I don't know. All right. Well, we got. Do we have any more before we.
Yeah, a couple more. Willie Styles.
Let's jam him in.
Willie Styles?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Yeah, I think so.
A little bit of one for Nylander.
Is that like a Will Smith reference from back in the day?
I don't really know what it refers to.
Wasn't he like doing the whole Big Willie Styles thing?
And this is one that there weren't many guys I was more excited about as a prospect for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but Jonas Gustafsson's nickname, The Monster.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that.
Oh, actually, Hildebeest is unbelievable.
Hildebeest is very good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Really like the Hildebeest.
And they've shortened it now to
just Beast.
The Beast. Yeah.
And the way Berube says it, like he doesn't even bother with it, it's just Beast.
Yvon Cornwallier, the Roadrunner?
Yeah. I mean, you had the Rocket and the Pocket Rocket there too, right? Like you had all those great nicknames,
Ryan Smith, Captain Canada. That one was always tough.
That was kind of an earned one too.
Well, yeah.
And give him a lot of credit. I mean, he showed up all the time.
He was the captain of like the world championship every year.
Yeah,
right? Like it was the world championship.
But he showed up all the time.
Every time.
Yeah, which was greatly appreciated.
And I think this is a perfect way to end. Probably the best one ever is Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey. Mr. Hockey's very good.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. Well, we got a ton of games this weekend. Toronto Maple Leafs playing the New York Rangers. Edmonton Oilers have a big match on Saturday night, too. We got all the Canadian teams in action. So, Gord, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure.
I believe it's over. It actually flew by. I had to double check. Anyway, Yeah, Kippy, stay away if you want, whatever. You know, we'll land the... Well, no, we'll welcome him back Monday. Thanks, Justin. Thanks, Sammy. Good catching up. Good talking hockey.
Yeah, love having you in here. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back next week. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
There you go, boys. I'm going to bolt.